Joining the Red River Farm Network is North Dakota Stockmen's Association Executive Vice President Julie Ellingson. And Julie, we're going to touch on a couple topics today. Of course, drought that is impacting cattle producers in North Dakota. But first, you've stayed busy these past few months with the North Dakota legislative session, and we are making some forward progress. First thing that's been on your agenda for many, many years on behalf of the Stockmen's Association is the criminal trespassing and electronic posting bill. And we have some good news on that. So bring us up to speed.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly, the private property rights has been a top priority of our organization since its inception. And our organization, like many statewide ag organizations, has always been concerned with North Dakota's posting laws, considering them as an impairment to those property rights, and have worked for some reform. And we have some positive news that came out of that effort here this week. A bill was introduced, Senate Bill 2144. A bill that came out of a lot of work over the interim through a formal interim process, as well as some continued work with stakeholders and legislators. And that was adopted by both the House and the Senate this week, following a couple different conference committee versions. But we have a piece of legislation that not only clarifies a state Supreme Court decision that recognizes some inherent property rights and criminal trespass protection on fenced property without having to sign, but it also provides opportunities for electronic posting for landowners who would like to choose that option in posting for hunting trespass. And so it gives an option of either physical posting or the electronic model that was tried over the last interim in a pilot project. And so now, moving forward, once then the bill is signed, that will be an option, and it will have the same penalties affixed to land that's trespassed on, that's posted under either mechanism. And so that, along with the recognition of the fenced property and having that additional protection, is a big step forward for landowners, and we're grateful. Particularly wanted to give a shout-out to Senator Robert Erbley, Dale Patton, and Don Shibley, who were legislative champions on this issue, and all the partners who helped bring us to this point today.
Yes, well, and Julie, I know from the last legislative session, they obviously didn't come to a conclusion on or agreeance on a bill of this nature. And of course, though, they've been doing a pilot project on some of this electronic posting stuff over the past year or so. And so, you know, how does that tie into all of this? And two, do we expect any hurdles in getting this bill signed? Pretty straightforward path from here on out?
You know, the governor has been very supportive of this discussion and wanting to be find a solution in what has been a decades-old debate between different interest groups and such. And so I'm confident that we will see the bill signed by the governor. He's embraced the technology component on the hunting trespass as a viable option, and recognizes, you know, the property rights piece that's identified in the criminal trespass. You know, we could attribute a lot of the progress, again, continued and vigilant work by many on this issue. But, of course, during the interim last year, the pilot project started the conversations and looked at all these broad topics. There's a companion piece of legislation that passed earlier this session, Senate Bill 2036, that will continue that interim study. Of course, we want to continue to refine the electronic process and other issues related to property rights and land access and such. And so that effort will continue through the upcoming interim, and it will also have that unique configuration, not only of lawmakers, but also stakeholders like landowners, like sportsmen, and other subject matter experts, whether it be state's attorneys, the Association of Counties, the Ag Commissioner, and others, to contribute and hopefully continue to improve upon this process. And again, we're excited to see a step forward on this issue finally for landowners.
Well, then, too, those lawmakers were hoping maybe to wrap up this session a little early. Right now, it's not looking like that will be the case, and that's mostly due to some federal dollars that are coming into the state, and not quite sure how we're going to manage those. And so what is the latest news on wrapping up the session and some of these different appropriations bills?
Right. So conference committees are still fast and furious, and there's still quite a few of them that need to be wrapped up. Of course, it's anybody's guess for sure when the sine die will happen, but it seems to be the most popular day that's discussed in the hallways is probably next Wednesday. As you mentioned, many of the bills that are needing to be finalized are some appropriation bills. Some of those that we have been watching are coming, coming to a close. This morning, for instance, the Ag Department budget will be among them. Senate Bill 2020 looks at NDSU Ag Research and Extension. Those are another appropriations bill that are important to our industry that will maybe wrap up their work today, along with others. And so, probably next Wednesday, along with that, some of these federal funds that have become available. Some of them, it's defined of how they can be utilized. Other ones, there's still questions about what would qualify. And so in some cases, legislators are able to allocate programming and funding that otherwise would have come from state resources, are able to allocate it, some of those federal funds and are able to utilize that. Even though, that being said, many of the decisions, as I understand, will ultimately take place when the legislature comes back into session at the end of the year when they're doing redistricting, when the firm parameters are defined for those federal funds. But they're keeping that those options open and, again, weaving them into these appropriations bills as best as they're able at this time.
And so I guess to wrap up our conversation today, Julie, let's talk drought. I know producers a little bit east and south of us have maybe found some relief, but for the majority of North Dakota, still very dry out there, and that has triggered some resources that cattle producers can tap into. And so first, what's the overall, I guess, mentality out in cattle country right now with these dry conditions, and what resources are available?
And so, of course, not many cattle have turned out for grazing yet, but that's certainly with little to no snow in most areas of the state, that runoff and filling some of those dugouts, is probably not going to be a very real possibility. And so looking for some kind of permanent water solutions available in some programs like this will be important and probably kind of spurred the popularity of this. Every Thursday, the drought monitor map is updated and released, and unfortunately, North Dakota has seen a lot of color on that map, not unlike much of the country south and west of us, and that makes people nervous. Of course, as we get deeper into spring, those dates and that precipitation becomes more and more critical all along. One resource that is available, I'm very pleased that the North Dakota Water Commission was proactive and got an early start on this, is reactivating a popular program that they offer called the Drought Disaster Livestock Water Supply Program. And what that does is provides some cost-share support for water-related projects, whether it be new wells or rural water system connections, pipelines, pasture taps, all sorts of different components that qualify for that funding. But they offer up to $4,500 per project with up to 3 projects per producer. And so that has been very popular. They reactivated the program at the beginning of the month with about $500,000 they had left over from the last time the program was in. Within about 10 days, that was pretty much used up. And then they re-injected an additional $1.5 million here just a couple of days ago. And so to date, about $2 million available. The North Dakota Water Commission is the contact. And so you can find information on their website about applying, a pretty simple process. The also thing, again, looking prospectively, the legislature in town also looked at the Water Commission budget for the biennium prospectively upcoming. And real pleased to see some significant funds allocated in different buckets within their department to provide, again, some additional funding to be injected for this program and others if necessary. In one of those funding pools, $6 million, and a separate one, $14 million. Hopefully, we don't have to use one penny of it, that the skies open up and we get some timely rains, but these are very important resources in the meantime. To prepare for what looks to be a very dry season.
Well, then when we talk about water, too, that's maybe one thing we maybe take for granted. And so, you know, we've seen, especially some of our producers out west already running short on water, or, you know, it's they have to fence it off because cows just can't drink from it. You know, obviously, it must be if we see a lot of these producers already using these resources.